Okay, we have a number of other great presentations coming up, and his name came up. He was on the Ability One Commission. I mentioned yesterday our feelings about Ability One's contract that they offered to the American Foundation for the Blind, which is one of the reasons I asked Daniil Lewis to leave the Ability One Commission. But we're glad that we have the public members there now that we do, and we're really glad that he is working on our behalf to bring programs to life that are by us, for us. He's here to talk about our progress and training and research and partnership, and he lives the Federation philosophy every day. He works with our affiliates across the nation, combining that effort with our staff team to develop programs that will advance our cause and build our movement. And we appreciate his work because his spirit and determination comes from the organized blind movement. Here's our brother, Daniil Lewis.
No, keep it going. I love that. You know, I like the walk-up music. Let's turn it to a dance party. Good afternoon, my Federation family.
Good afternoon.
I missed you guys last year. I was a member of the COVID club, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you. I'll try to make up for it today. Oh, my goodness. Did you guys listen to the president's report? I mean, I do this work every day, and I'm listening, I'm hearing new stuff. I was exhausted by the end. I had to take a nap. Speaking of taking a nap, I've been planning this convention as though I was a young guy, and I keep forgetting I'm an old guy now.
Oh, yeah,
I am exhausted. You notice that President Carbono says he didn't have enough time to talk about all the projects and programs, so I'm going to hopefully fill in a little bit of it. But before I start, I just want to reiterate, I'm filled with hope, energy, and love anytime I get into this space. This is the most intimidating audience I ever speak to, but I know that you guys love me, and I love you right back. Yeah, the only thing is, I may not like all of you. Let's see, I'm an Orioles fan unless they're playing the Braves. I'm a Ravens fan unless they're playing the Falcons. Love the Atlanta Hawks, the Atlanta Dream, the Atlanta United. And I can tell that some of you don't like those teams like I do.
No kidding.
And I'm sure if I talked a little bit about my politics and my views on race or sex or gender or sexual orientation or religion that some of you might not like that either. But I'm glad, so glad that we can agree on one thing. Chocolate is life affirming. Now, the real truth is I'm glad that we can agree that blind people have capacity and value and that we deserve to be respected and we have the right to live in this world. We all fight so that blind people have the ability to live, learn, work, and play in our communities as fully contributing members of society. But you know what? I think it's better than in some instances we disagree. I think it's important because, you know, we are a subset of society, and our differences really serve to make us stronger as long as we don't try to find ways that we don't like each other to make us not love each other. Diversity builds the NFB, and all of those intersecting characteristics expand our ability to influence society. And in order for that to happen, we need all blind people to participate in the NFB with a variety of interests and expertise so that we can make sure that we can get some things done. So as always, I want to have a conversation with you about our projects and programs and our blindness initiatives, because these are not projects and programs that that dynamic team in Baltimore helps to operate every day. This is our blindness initiatives programs. And we need you to help continue to build them, because these programs build the National Federation of the Blind. I'll start in membership, and I was really gonna start mentioning names, but I figured if I did that, it would diminish the fact that no one in one position at our national office does it all alone. It's the over 70 people that are staff that really work through our network of affiliates across the country that are changing what it means to be blind. But in the area of membership, we're doing a dynamic job, because if we don't have members, we don't have the Federation, of providing chapter trainings and orientation to new members, and hopefully getting other people who are just getting to know the Federation an opportunity to ask those questions that have prohibited them from being a part of what we provide. I also like the fact that we are focusing on our leadership building. Many of you in this room may have participated in the presidential leadership seminars. Am I on the mic wrong? Is that better? Okay. Do you remember the name of your leadership seminar? Three Strike Seminarians, the best seminar that we've ever had. Come on, you guys, give it up. Three Strike Seminary. No? All right, on three, let's see. What's the name of your seminar? One, two, three. Three Strike Seminary. Yeah, thank you. Three Strike Seminarians. Great, good job. This is, you guys know that's a really intensive week of training. It's a lot to deal with. I said on three, you missed your time. It's done. We're moving on now. So the beautiful part about our leadership training is we create a cohort of individuals, and many of them are meeting on a regular basis and enjoying each other and supporting one another. So I love what President Riccobono touched on. He talked about the Kenneth Jernigan Leadership and Service Program, our initiative there to do leadership building. It's more than just a week. It's going to be a whole year. And we need you guys to help us build this program to see what it looks like. So I'm thinking, let's have like four in-person sessions where we bring this cohort together, right? And then we can have monthly virtual sessions where we can talk and work. But we're going to need your help to develop. What are those virtual programs going to do? What are we going to cover in those in-person experiences? What do our leaders really need to know in order to continue to build and grow this organization? But how do we decide who participates in this program? That's the key, right? How many of you would love to participate in this experience? All right, so I'm thinking maybe in order for you to participate, you have to demonstrate that you have the ability to develop relationships with existing leaders, right? So maybe we require you to get two affiliate presidents to sponsor you. You'll have to go out and find two affiliate presidents that are willing to say, I will mentor this individual through this program. But let's not overload the amount of people who can participate. So you affiliate presidents, you'll only be allowed to sponsor two individuals. So you have to be very selective of the two individuals that you decide. And of course, with anything that we do, maybe we'll have you write an essay so that we can get to know you and your philosophy on blindness and what you plan on getting from or contributing to this program. But again, this is in development. We need your feedback. We'd like to launch it in the fall. So hopefully you'll be hearing or watching and get more information about this program as we move forward. I'd like to talk to you about our education programs. You know that we've been talking for the past 5 years about our spatial abilities and blindness engineering research, our SABRE program, and we talked about the products that have come out of that have helped not only provide STEM education in an accessible, non-visual fashion to blind students, but have actually enhanced the ability to teach STEM to even sighted students. Coming out of this program, we have developed an open educational resource around non-visual engineering curriculum, and that's going to help open up avenues for other entities to provide non-visual access to STEM in existing programs as well. We don't want to just continue to carve out spaces that blind people can thrive. We want blind people to be able to thrive in any program that exists anywhere. We're trying to build programs to continue to create STEM access. We don't want to try to continue to bring people to our national center, so we launched our STEM2U program. Our people at CoSci developed this learning lunchbox around STEM. and they're gonna be pushing it out into the school systems. And we said, you know what? It'd be great if these lunch boxes were already accessible so that our blind students, who normally put in the corner when STEM is discussed, can participate actively right alongside their sighted peers. So many of our affiliates have helped to launch this program, and we're having bringing STEM to you programs throughout the country. So thank you. We're also working with a group that's doing an Eclipse Science, Citizen Science Eclipse project. Well, I'll get it right tomorrow, because I told you I was exhausted. Eclipse Citizens Science Project. Oh. Can blind people appreciate an eclipse?
Yeah.
It's visual, isn't it?
No.
There's a lot of audio and non-visual aspects of eclipses that we can appreciate and that even sighted people can appreciate. We're gonna teach sighted people how to really appreciate an eclipse. So you'll have more about that as we move forward. You hear me talking about STEM. And I'm gonna tell you, I love the work that we're doing there, but I think that so many others have taken our lead and really strayed away from the fundamentals. And we can't afford to let that happen. Here, let me offer the statistic. There's 70 to 75% unemployment. Of those 30% of blind individuals that are employed, 90% of them know Braille. I'll let you scientists decide whether it's a causal relationship, but I definitely know it's a correlation. But even with that, what percentage of students are being taught Braille? Come on. 10%. And we wonder why we can't move that unemployment bar. We've got to give our students the tools, and we will always champion Braille as an essential tool for blind people to be successful. So in order to do that, we make sure and take pride in the fact that we operate a contract with the National Library Service to promote the Braille Certification Training Program to continue to train Braille transcribers so that we have the resources out there to teach our blind students Braille. We partner with individuals like Pearson in a real way, and because of that relationship, the tools that they've used to provide accessibility to their high-stakes testing, we've developed a Nemeth curriculum that's now posted on our website. And I apologize, I really want to have more specific information about this, but you'll see this being pushed out. It's up live, but I don't have the information here with me. But it's at Pearson, well, we get to brand it because Pearson gave it to us, so you guys tell us what you want us to call it. But it's an online Nemeth curriculum to make sure that Braille and math go hand in hand. That's the way we get to STEM. You know, we continue to work with our Braille Enrichment Literacy and Learning programs, our academies. So we have academies continuing to grow. We have our Bell in-home edition that continues to provide services to individuals who can't access a physical in-person Braille session. And I'm loving the fact that although we have some tremendous affiliates doing some work, getting 20 plus students and partnering with their schools for the blind, we still have a lot of our affiliates who are committed to putting the time and resources together to even help those two students that may be participating in their Braille program. It's not always the quantity, but it's definitely about the quality. But that's all kind of starfish, right? Helps that starfish. How do we create systemic change? Well, let's start dealing with entities who can help us reach an exponential impact. That's why our Teach Our Tomorrow program is so important. We're taking teachers who've already expressed a commitment in teaching blind students and arming them with the tools of our lived experience to make sure that they're better professionals in that space. I love the fact that our Maryland affiliate saw that model, thought it worked, so they started, you know what, we can do this specifically for Maryland teachers as well. So our Narrowing the Gap cohort is graduating and they're now participating in their internship. I think it ended up with maybe 13 teachers of blind students that know the NFB philosophy that are gonna be able to impact blind students exponentially. Every blind student they instruct from this point on is gonna know our philosophy and believe in the capacity of blind people and their own potential. We're not trying to devalue other teachers who may not have been exposed to the Federation, but we do want to create opportunities to complement their academic training with our lived experience and our expertise. Because we have success stories that prove that our philosophy around blindness, the tools that we stress are important, really do work. I'll talk a little later about how we can make sure that we create research that continues to validate that. We teach our kids so that they can get the academic acumen, the self-confidence and the problem-solving skills so they can go out there and achieve actual competitive integrated employment. And I'm so pleased. Who would have thought that we have Ability One at our convention getting applause?
That's right.
Outstanding. I appreciate Kai, and my hat's off to my young, I'd like to think I had something to do with it. Well, I'll claim it anyway. But Gabe Casardis on the Ability One Commission doing a really good job, and of course, Brian Bashan. That's Federation philosophy being infused into a program that's been historically unfriendly to blind people, that's really creating some opportunities that otherwise wouldn't exist. So let's talk about the statistic again. When we talk about employment, how many? What's the percentage of unemployment? 70 to 75. And there are people that say, well, it's really more like 67% now. Let's not do that. Because people, when they say 67%, they think, well, something's working. No, it's not. Not until we get the Federation philosophy and our lived experience inserted and infused and everything that's out there will we really be able to move this number. And I have to admit that we've been trying, right? We've been making a little bit of headway ourselves. But the current programs across the system are not sufficient. And I'll have to be honest with you, our programs are not sufficient. We're not going to sit back and try to change the math to make our programs look sufficient. We're going to create real programs that have an impact, right? So we started with our career mentoring program, and we learned a lot in that, working with the students and working with the agencies. And what I learned personally is it is a failed strategy for us to try to take our philosophy and training and then put it in the framework that the agencies dictate. Can't do it. Tried. We had several programs, just can't do it. Too bureaucratic. So what we're going to do is create programs that are authentic to us, and then the agencies get to decide whether they want to purchase the services, right? As we want to provide them. And there will be those who say no. They'll be last in the list of success, because we will have early adopters like we have in our relationship with the Mississippi State VR program. We have five fabulous young people here this week participating in our Career Quest program. And essentially what that does is that takes this whole convention experience, offers it to transition age youth, builds a framework where we can enhance that with other activities, and they come out better as a result. We're going to create the program that everybody's going to want to participate on. Mississippi was just the brightest state to recognize they should do it first. Oh, and I would be reluctant to say those five students, hats off to the Fabulous Five. Give them a round of applause, too. So in addition to our career quest, we're going to be doing some systemic change by enhancing our career fairs, because the career fairs have served hundreds of job seekers throughout the many years we've hosted it. But now our employment committee has really done something even more dynamic. It gives us an opportunity to really educate employers, where we can talk to them about the biases they may have, create opportunities for them to learn how to hire and understand the real benefit of blind people. And I'll take this moment to state, based on what Kai was saying, we have to get employers to understand the value of a blind employee, but we also have to get our blind job seekers to understand that, believe it or not, there's a positive to being blind when you're job seeking. Every day we leave our homes in a world that's not made for blind people. We have to problem solve and strategize in the moment every day, coming up with creative solutions to problems. Who doesn't want that on their team? Who doesn't want somebody on their team who can, in the moment, come up with something wonderful and beautiful to deal with the situation? In addition to working with the employers, we're also going to be doing some dynamic training of VR counselors, working with our professionals in rehabilitation. We've already got some commitment, once again, from Mississippi, right, and some other states. We're looking at reaching out to Washington and others to start really working to train their VR counselors. Again, not trying to go against what they've learned through their academic pursuits, because we need someone to teach them to fill out the paperwork and the forms, because RSA is going to require them to do that. But we want to teach them about how to work with blind people, how to inspire, how to motivate, how to hold accountable, how to make responsible. And we're going to have some real change in those numbers. The other piece I really love is we're creating an environment by which the agencies for the blind are really stepping up to a greater expectation that we set. President Rico Bono mentioned the Blind Agency Parity Pledge. That's already out there. It's simply asking blindness agencies to step up to the bar that we've already set. And we've set it in a way that recognizes that their success in doing it. Creating a board that's more representative through the participation of blind individuals, making sure that there are blind people working in your manager and executive levels, making sure that individuals who work for you have a way that their voices can be heard. So establishing a committee of those blind employees to make sure they can give you direct feedback. These are all common sense to us, but many of the mainstream agencies don't recognize that it is the game changer. But we're gonna encourage more and more entities to sign our Blindness Parity Pledge. Well, you know, the American Action Fund, with no doubt, already signed straight away. They've been meeting this standard for years. Our Centers for the Blind, you know, Blind Incorporated, Colorado Center, and Saving the Best for Last, Louisiana Center for the Blind, already meet this expectation. Savvy Services out of Arizona was an early adopter as well. So we're well on our way to making sure that we can hold the agencies accountable. The other area is our research. We have to make sure, as I said earlier, that our voices influence the blindness, the understanding of blindness. And in our research, we do things with our museum accessibility. We've done voting accessibility. We host our JTB Law Symposium, which is the largest cross-disability symposium of advocates existing. I'd like to talk to you very briefly about our journal, Blindness, Innovation, and Research. That's where we can make the change in the research field. Now that we're out there on EBSCO and people can research and get access to our articles, more and more publications are recognizing our philosophy around blindness and integrating that into their research analysis and conclusions. We're gonna have to build that space, and in the coming months, we're gonna revamp this in a way that really concentrates the resources and the energy to make sure that it happens. Because again, we must make sure that our lived experience and our expertise really leads the day. Gotcha. So I want to close, we'll move to our closing by saying in the CINA space, there's so much more, but I can't go over it all, but I do want to mention one thing. We need to be the first individuals out there that are talking about inaccessibility. And we've been doing some work that are empowering you to make sure that you can have those voices. We're coming out with our inaccessibility form, which will allow you to not only talk about inaccessible websites and apps, but in home products, et cetera. It'll give you an opportunity to give us information so that we can aggregate it to our partners and make them really good participants. And also give you an opportunity to tell us if you found a workaround. We have some of the brightest people in this room that can fix problems in a way that no one else can think about, and we need to share that with everyone else. But before I close, I would be remiss if I didn't say that we need leadership in order to get this done. We're more than we were in the past. We've been led by the hopes and dreams of our leaders in the past. But now as our organization grows, our strategies need to grow. And President Riccobono is the man for that job. He mentioned to you about our strategic planning. We're now getting ready to execute a new 5-year plan. We need your active participation in that planning. So yeah, we have our priorities, commitments, our goals, and our tactics, and we'll be getting data together, and we'll be doing surveys and developing key performance indicators, all that stuff, right? But we need you to actively participate. We'll be collecting data, and I would love for you, I forgot to say this early on, we'll be setting 20 years of NFP Journey Institute programs next year. You hear about that in a big way. We're gonna work with our communications team to push that out. But we need you to do that because it's your participation that's made it a big deal. And you need to decide what our next 20 years are gonna look like. Which programs will we keep and which will we sunset? Which new ones shall we develop? And we will all work to do that. And we will do it by executing collaboratively the strategic plan. We will be led by the data. I mean, we will be better informed by the data, but we will be led by our hearts. We will continue the evolution of our dreams through our bond of faith and the value and the capacity of blind people. All of the blind, not just the ones we like, all of the blinds. And through love, let's go build the National Federation of the Blind.
Eclipse.